Have you turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. We'll preach from, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll preach from this chapter today. The book of Ephesians is a great book. It begins in chapter number 1. I'll just read a few verses. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Paul begins this book with powerful statements. Things that will warm the heart of a person who really knows the Lord, what he did for us. And then he goes to chapter 2 and tells us why he had to do all these things. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. So he begins with the wondrous doctrines of his electing grace. His predestination, us, the children, all by his divine will. And then he reveals to us the terrible condition he found us in. Then in chapter number 3, he takes us to the church where he's placed us and talks about all the mystery that's in the church. The unsearchable riches of Christ will be revealed in the church. And he ends that third chapter with this statement, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So this is a progressive book. It's building on, begins with God and all his mighty grace and power, turns to us with all of our need, then turns to the church where he brings us that we might grow, we might bring glory to him. And then in chapter 4, I'm not going to get into chapter 4, but it's very much the same thing that we're going to deal with tonight, or today rather, in chapter number 5. After all these things, he says in verse 1 of Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Our responsibility. He tells us about what he's done, where he found us, how he changed us, made us a new creature, put us in a church where we could learn these things and could serve him acceptably, bring glory to his name. But now he says, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He turns now to what Christ has done for us and what we should do as a result of that. We should be serving God out of love. Chapter 1 should overcome you. Is he talking about me? Before the foundation of the world, he loved me. Made me accepted in the beloved. Chapter 2, is he talking about me? Was I in that condition, dead in trespasses and sins? Living like the world, and yet God was rich in mercy and for his great love wherewith he loved us, he quickened us together with Christ. Is he talking about me? chapter 3, he put me in a church where I could hear these truths and could respond to the love that he had for me. And he tells me to walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us. I want to give you five things today in the Christian walk, and it begins with this first one I've just mentioned. Walk in love as a Christian. Christian walk should be a walk of love. It's not a walk of dread or fear or do it because you have to. It's a walk of love. You want to do what you're doing. Makes all the difference in the world how you serve God. You do it because you feel like you have to, then you're to be pitied. We sing that great hymn, "How great thou art, how great thou art." Our hearts should rejoice to think about who he is, how great he's been toward us, toward those that he loves, to build a church where we could grow and learn the things of God, continue to grow all of our life. He begins to deal with the practical aspects of the Christian life in chapter number 4 and 5. And he says, walk in love. As Christ also loved us. As he offered himself sacrificially, he gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. When we walk in love, beloved, it's going to be sacrificially. Love doesn't come easy. You don't just love because you have to and you want to. It's something that costs you something. You have to sacrifice to walk in love. You have to sacrifice your time. You have to sacrifice your money. You have to sacrifice your lives. And you do it joyfully because it's love. It's not pressure. It's not demand. It's not obligatory. It's love. We walk in love because he loved us. Verse number 2, he sacrificed for us. Love is going to cost you something. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice, you'll never walk. You'll never follow the Lord. You'll never walk in love because you're not willing to pay the price. Jesus paid the price. We see, secondly, not only tells us to walk in love as Christ loved us, but he tells us not to walk in the ways of the world. In verse number 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you. It stresses this further in verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Walking in love is going to require you to sacrifice yourself and to keep yourself in control to avoid walking in these things. And the day we live, it's really difficult to avoid walking in fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Walk in love. Avoid walking in these things, because they'll hinder your love. They'll hinder your walk. They'll turn you aside. Verse 6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, these are the things to bring the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. These are the things that God is going to judge. And to walk in love and to follow Christ means to avoid these things, stay away from them, keep them out of your life. So walking in love involves a positive sacrificial giving of ourselves and our time, and it requires us to watch some things and avoid some things and stay away from some things that are listed here. Verse 7 sums it up, says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Don't do the things they're doing, because the wrath of God's going to fall on people who do. God's going to judge it, because it's sin, and God hates sin, and God's going to judge sin. But then he goes further in verse 8, and you'll see this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." How are we to walk? Well, we're to walk like we see where we're going. We're not walk in darkness. Not to stumble around and act like we don't know what we're doing. We're to walk in light. Where do we get the light? Well, we hold the light in our hand. I just finished a series of messages on the Word of God. So important to those of us who are saved. Not only are we to walk in love and avoid the things that will keep us from serving God like we ought to, but we're to walk as children of light. A lot of teachings in that. We go back to Matthew chapter number 5, where Jesus told us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven," not glorify you. As children of light, we walk not for the praise of men like the Pharisees, not so people will admire us, but as children of light, we walk and we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works. The Pharisees did that, standing on the street corner praying. They do that they might be seen of men, but we walk that it might glorify our Father which is in heaven, not ourselves. And as children of light, that's what we do. When we walk as we ought to, we're dedicated to the Lord. We sacrifice things for the Lord. We do it because we love. Verse number 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth." And emphasizing particularly verse 10, "proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." When we walk as children of light, we prove, we demonstrate, we show forth what God accepts. If we don't do that, we're showing forth what God won't accept. The very opposite of that. You walk in fornication, uncleanness, foolish talking, all those things. You're showing forth what God does not approve of. And beloved, as a child of God, your peace of mind, your assurance, your being settled in what you're doing depends on walking and knowing that God approves of what I'm doing. Not perfectly. Because as Tim said this morning, we're just dust. We're just flesh. He knows that. But beloved, we ought to have this mindset in us. We ought to have this desire in us to walk as children of light. To show the world how to live. They don't know how to live. They're demonstrating that. You just watch them a minute. You'll see how they're living. They need light. They're in darkness. But we're light because the Lord Jesus Christ gave us to be light. And that light should shine so that men should see what God approves. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verse 11 he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We have no fellowship with them. Our life will shine in such a manner that it will reprove their ungodly living. You know that well as I do. If you work with people, they see you live in a way that pleases God. It reproves their ungodliness. It reproves what they're doing. They may not like it, and they may speak evil of you. They may say all kinds of things against you. They may call you holier than thou. But the truth of the matter is that the light that you show forth shows them what is acceptable to God, and they know they're not living in a way that God accepts. That's what it's all about. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's tough, folks. I know that. It's hard to go against sometimes your family, sometimes against people you work with, sometimes people you love. But what they're doing doesn't show forth what God approves. Therefore, we can't have any fellowship with it. Verse 12, I'll read it again. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That ought never be in the church. I know you talk to one another before church and after church, but don't even speak of the things that are done of them. It should not be mentioned in this place. This is God's house. Don't talk about things that are unclean, unsavory, and they're done by the children of darkness. Don't talk about them in this place. This is not the place for that. Plenty of room outside for that. And it's a shame to even speak of those things that are done of them. They're done in secret. Why are they done in secret? Because they're shameful. They don't do them out in the open, and yet we're going to talk about it. We hear about it. We gossip about it. We bring it to our mind. We tell other people about it. And yet it's shameful. It's against the ways of God. As God's people, if you want to walk in love as Christ loved us, don't even speak of those things. The uncleanness, the ungodliness, the fornications, the unclean things that this world does with no conviction. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Be a light. Be a light against those things. Don't let people speak in your presence of those unclean things. Turn away from them. Rebuke them if necessary. You shouldn't have to rebuke them if you'll live like you ought to. They just won't say them in your presence. You know that too. If you worked out in an open place, in public, they won't start talking to you about those unclean things. They know better. Be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And they would glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because they have to acknowledge that you're walking in love. And then number four in our context here. We'll read this in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, this word you probably haven't heard much. It's not used in our normal talking a whole lot. And I think I found the secret why people don't use this word much. We're to walk circumspectly. And the word means to be diligent in your walk, but it also means to be accurate in your walk. Now, some may call you, as I said earlier, holier than thou's. And you think you're trying to be something you're not. But, beloved, we're to walk circumspectly. Our life is to be an example of what a Christian should be. Are we doing that? Or do we use the excuse, well, you know, we all sin? I don't think you want to say that when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and use that excuse, well, it's just my flesh coming out. Well, the responsibility that he speaks of here is to walk circumspectly, which means to be diligent that you don't do those things. And be diligent you don't talk about those things. And be diligent in your life and walk correctly and respectfully to the honor and glory of God, not for your own glory. Circumspectly. Diligently, accurately. He goes on to specify not as fools. Don't walk like the fools walk. They don't care where they walk. They don't care what they say. They don't care what they do. They're fools. But as wise. We're to walk as people who've been taught some things, as people who know some things, as people who want to do some things that are right. We're to be wise. Now, we admire that in some aspects of life, but when it comes to the Christian walk, we're ashamed sometimes to even walk circumspectly because somebody might say something about us. I would rather they say something about me in this life than have to face the Lord with it at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the will of God. The New Testament book was written more than anything else. Yes, the first gospel records were given for the history of Christ's coming and his life and his death. But beloved, from there on, these letters to the church were written concerning how we should walk as God's people because of what he's done for us. He goes on to say in verse 16, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Every message I hear lately mentions how close we are to the coming of Christ. Well, if we really believe that, if we really believe his coming is very close, then should we not be redeeming the time? Should we not take advantage of the time that we have? I look at my own life and I prayed this morning, Lord, help me, use me in the time that I have left. Help me to redeem that time, not waste it. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many times we see that? We've already read it once, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord in verse 10. We're to prove it, we're to demonstrate it, we're to show it. That same word is used many times in the New Testament concerning bad coins. Prove those coins to make sure they're legitimate. Prove that your life is a legitimate life. It's not a put-on. It's not hypocrisy. You're not being a Pharisee. You're being a real, genuine child of God, and you're walking as children of God. I want to turn just a few pages to the First Thessalonian letter and see how Paul emphasized this. In every letter that he wrote, somewhere in that letter, you'll find this embedded. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, start reading with me in verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you as brethren, or we beseech you brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's telling them the same thing he told the church at Ephesus. And to please God, so you would abound more and more. That's what the Christian life is about, pleasing God, not pleasing ourselves. Yes, we can do things the world does, and yes, we can feel real good about it. But when you stand before the Lord, you're not going to feel too good because the Bible told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. You can justify it by the weakness of the flesh. You can justify it by I'm free to do what I want to. You can justify it any way you want to, but you can't justify it before God because he teaches us how you ought to walk. Please God. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. There's his authority. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. People are afraid of sanctification. Baptists are afraid to teach a holy life and a godly life. They want something a little loose, and you can be saved and always be saved and just kind of live like you want to. That's not biblical. It's ungodly. It's unclean. Read further. You should abstain. Notice the first sin mentioned after he says that. You should abstain from fornication. I told our Sunday school class it's at the head of just about every list of sins you'll find in the New Testament. First thing you find is fornication. You know why? Because it's so prevalent and it's so easily fallen into. Fornication is a word that covers a lot of sexual sins that God disapproves of. Verse 4, that every one of you, look at this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That's our responsibility individually. We should know how to possess our vessel. We should know how to walk as children of God. We should know how to walk in godliness and holiness. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness. God didn't save us to be unclean, but unto holiness. That nasty word. That's not a nasty word. That's a precious word. God called us unto holiness. Not to live like the world, not to love the world, but to live in this world knowing the world is going to be damned. God's going to judge it. And we're to be a light. We're to walk in love. Because we love people, we ought to want to walk before them like a light, showing them the way. God hath not called us unto holiness. Verse 8 says, therefore he that despiseth, you despise this kind of teaching? You despise this kind of preaching? You despise not man, but God, which hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Walking as children of God involves walking circumspectly, which means we walk correctly. We're diligent about our walk. We're not loose and we're okay with this and we're okay with that. No, we know what we should be and we know how we should walk. And by the help and grace of God, we want to do that. And last of all, go on in our text, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I watched the video the other day, somebody showed it to me, of people supposedly worshiping God. They were running all over the building, and one man at the cap of it, I guess it was close to the end, he ran up the aisle and ran up on the pulpit and did a flip right into the baptistry. It was full of water. There was a spirit there, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. People think that's walking in the Spirit. We've been taught better than that. We know better than that. Walk in the Spirit, or be filled with the Spirit. Now let's read on. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I try to impress that upon you. When you come into the house of God, you're here to sing praises to God. You're here to, don't sit there like you're half asleep. Don't sit there like you're back on your job. Don't sit there like you're doing some pleasurable thing. You're here to worship. Speaking to yourselves in hymns, or psalms rather. And that has to do more with a stringed instrument than it does with the psalms, as we can read. Because the next word, hymns, is songs. And spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Walking as a child of God means that we should walk in the Spirit. We should do the things the Spirit would lead us to do. We should do the things that bring glory to God. He goes on to say, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. We come into the house of God. We come here to worship. One of the things that should be very prominent in our church services is singing. How great thou art. How great thou art. Where was your mind? Where was your heart when we sang that last congregational hymn? Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all. Where's our heart? Where's our mind? Are we singing with understanding? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we filled with the Spirit, as it says here? Galatians 5, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's really important, walking in the Spirit. Actually, we started with that first point, walk in love, even as Christ loved us. And I'm going to end up with this one, walk in the Spirit. And everything in between can be brought together in those two thoughts. Walk in love, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse number 25 tells us if you're filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. We have in our church covenant that the members of this church will not partake of those things. It's against the church covenant. You can do it, because I'm not going to trail you around and see what you do and where you go, but don't talk about it like you're bragging, because somebody's going to tell on you. And we've disciplined people from this church for doing such things. It's against the church covenant. It's against the Word of God. It's against what we're trying to do. We're not shining a light when we're partaking of the same drunkenness that the Gentiles partake of. We're not being a light. We're being darkness. And you can try to justify it and come up with all the scriptures you want. You can't justify. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. Could that be any plainer? Be not drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the will of God. That's one of the things that we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. We don't need to be filled with alcohol to the sense it gets us inebriated and we don't know where we are and we don't know what we're doing. Do things that we shouldn't be doing. But we're to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Page 52 of our hymn books. We sang this Friday night. Came to my mind. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. That was written by Fanny Crosby, and I noticed, I pointed out to my wife, her name is on the left side, which means she wrote that, or she composed the words to it. But you'll never see Fanny Crosby. I've never seen Fanny Crosby on the right-hand side, but she was totally blind. She wrote poems that men took and changed them in such a manner that they wrote the lyrics, that the music to go with it. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. That came out of the heart of Fanny Crosby. She wrote many great hymns because she loved the Lord, and she expressed it in that way. Many of her hymns have been added to our hymn books. Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. How about you? How long has it been since you made melody in your heart to the Lord? I catch myself sometimes singing old hymns, or not old hymns, but old commercials. My wife said, what in the world are you doing singing that? They just come to my mind, and it might be about Marlboro or cigarettes. I mean, it just comes out. And she catches me, and I catch myself. What am I singing that for? Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Second Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now listen to this carefully. Giving thanks always. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will, open, revealed, that we give thanks in all things. That's why Romans 8:28 was written. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Then he says another thing in verse 21. And we'll close with this verse. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission. One of the keys to the Christian life. There's several things really important. Obedience is one of them. Submission goes along with obedience. You won't obey if you won't submit. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is not a light thing. The fear of God is attached to this. We're to submit ourselves to one another. Let each esteem others better than themselves, the Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 8. Let each esteem other. But is that the world we live in? Is that what the world out there thinks? Let each esteem other better than themselves? No, it's let you esteem yourself better than anybody. That's why they live so ungodly. They do everything that they shouldn't do. Nobody tell me what to do. I'll do as I want. Submitting yourselves one to another. The Christian walk is not easy, nor is it impossible. I want to summarize real quickly. We're to walk, first of all, in love. We're to walk contrary to the things that your flesh wants to do. We're not to walk in the things of the world. We're to avoid those things. Then we're to walk as children of light. We're to be the light to the world. We're to walk circumspectly. It should be a serious thing. We're not flipping. We're not flopping around. We're walking walking diligently. And then we're to walk in the Spirit. Follow the things of the Spirit. Don't follow the things of the flesh. It's destructive. It'll destroy you. But as a child of God, you should have melody in your heart. You come into God's house, you ought to be here to sing. I can't sing. Well, I'm not talking about that at all. You missed the whole point. You can say words, can't you? I don't care whether melodious or not. It says making melody in your heart. You may not be able to make melody with your voice, but you can make it in your heart, I'll guarantee you. Now, melody's good. Melody's important. I love melody. I love harmony. And beloved, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. All these things are involved in walking in love. That was the main point I wanted to make. If you love, and Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is God's way. I've not preached anything untrue to you that I'm aware of. You correct me if I'm wrong. I've not preached a thing to you that wasn't best for you. Now, you can reject it. You can be stiff-necked and hard-headed like Israel, and you'll suffer the same kind of consequences. Or you can submit yourself to the Word of God, to the teachings of God's Word, and be assured, be joyful, be happy. Not that you won't have problems, but you can be happy in your problems. You can be like Job. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your word, and I do pray that you'd use it for this church benefit. We might know how to walk. We might follow the instructions of the Apostle Paul to this church at Ephesus. We might walk, first of all, in love. And last of all, we might walk in the Spirit. Let him lead us and follow where he leads. As Peter told us, Jesus Christ left an example that we should follow in his steps. And as we do this, we know we're following his steps. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.